And today we're going to be looking at the last words that Jesus uttered on his as part of his ministry on earth before he ascended into heaven. Now, just imagine if you were having a conversation with somebody that you knew was going to be away from you for a long time. People you may have to say goodbye to when they're moving to another area or place, or somebody you know you may never see again, or that they're going to be distant from you for a while. What would be the conversation that you would have? Would it be about, you know, last night's footy results? Would it be about the weather? Would it be, you know, about money or just general chit-chat? You would imagine that if you were about to say goodbye to somebody or you wouldn't see them in that same form for a while, the conversation that you'd have would be a fairly significant one about your relationship with them, how much that relationship has meant to you, those sort of things that are on your heart that are really important to share, wouldn't you think? Those things that are really important. And so today, we're going to be reading from a passage where Jesus, even though technically he never left them, but he was leaving physically from earth, ascending back into heaven. These are the last words that Jesus uttered while he was here physically on earth. And we find that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through to 20. Now, this is a passage that has been read multiple times. And I must even admit that as I contemplated the preaching of this on Sunday, I'm going, oh, how many times has this passage been preached? Everybody in church knows it. So we can just sort of say we all agree and we just move on. But is that the right attitude? I mean, sometimes we need to read it again with fresh eyes, ask the question, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for us as a church? So can I encourage you as I read through this, instead of going, yep, heard that, go, God, what is it that you are saying to me right now as we read this? What is it beyond what I would normally just glaze over? What is it you're specifically saying? So let's have a look at this passage, Matthew 28, verses 18 through to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." What does this say to us? I'm going to suggest three aspects of this passage that may be pertinent to us as we contemplate the significance of this. And the first one is the source of our mission, the source of our purpose. As we look at this passage, we see it's wholly and solely revolving around, sourced from and to and focusing on Jesus. Now, I know that's pretty straightforward, but too often when we look for purpose and we look for mission, too often we start in the wrong place. We start in the wrong place. I've made this mistake in previous times when I look for purpose, I look to other people and seek to get inspiration from other people. And rightfully so, there's been people in my life who have been role models, people who have inspired me, people who have taught me, people who have corrected me. And the problem is, instead of just looking at it solely as that, I start to look to them as the model and find the source in them rather than in Christ and Christ alone. Have we all done that from time to time? We've looked to model ourselves off other people. Or what happens is we look inside ourselves and seek to find our purpose within ourselves. What makes me happy? What makes me comfortable? What ticks all the boxes for me? And that also is wrong when we look into within ourselves for our purpose. We just become self-obsessed. When we think of it, and it's not rocket science, when we think about it, the best place to start is the Creator, isn't it? The best place to start is the one who started it all. Now note what he says at the very beginning of this passage in Matthew 28:18. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," said Jesus. All of that authority. Now, there's been over-the-ear speculation and commentary about what that means. Does that mean that Jesus was completely subject to the Father, and what was the relationship between the Father and the Son, and how was it given, and whatever? He's implying it's been given to the Father, but in light of that statement, and a little bit further on, when he talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as one entity, from here we begin to grasp the whole implication of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus in bodily form, fully God yet fully human, anointed and crucified, and now as he's standing in front of these disciples before he goes into heaven, fully risen with full authority as God. And this highlights in this passage, which we call quite commonly the Great Commission, that Christ has authority over all of creation. He alone understands what's best for you and me. He fully understands the future from the past, and he calls us, here's the amazing thing, he calls us to partner with him. That's the commission. It's not stand back and watch God at work. He's saying, come, I want to partner with you to fulfill this mission. Do you find that amazing? That the perfect, omniscient, wonderful, powerful God, full of love, full of power, says, I want you with me. And together, we're going to do my business. But it's in the beginning, and the source and everything is found in Jesus. And so I think we just need to put that down as a foundation. That is where our mission, that is our purpose, is found in him. The second thing that I find in all of this is that the goal of our mission, the goal of what the whole purpose of why we live on this planet Earth, the whole goal of it is to transform lives. We see this here in this passage. Our purpose is beyond just ourselves. Our purpose is beyond us just living a good life, just being comfortable, making money, having a good job. We're called to see other people's lives transformed. Let's have another look at these two verses connected together in verse 19 and 20. Jesus says this, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." It's a statement tied up in the last utterances of Jesus in his earthly ministry here on earth. Important words. And let's have a look and let's dig a little bit deeper at what Jesus, as he said, with all of authority has called his disciples, those disciples on that day. It's not limited to those disciples on that day. It includes all the disciples, the followers of Jesus, from that day onwards, right through to us here today. We're included in that statement. He says, go, baptize, teach. Now let's have a look at these one by one. The first one is go. I think we're pretty good at asking people to come. And look, I'm going to stand up here and stand corrected. I'm going to ask people to come next Sunday to Brecky Church. The very first song that we sung was come together and worship. And there's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with asking people to come here. There's nothing wrong with calling people to come and worship. We're called, and there's many passages in the Bible that calls us together as followers to fellowship and to worship together. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with gathering together in buildings or groups or in your place on a Wednesday night or at church on a Sunday morning. But our mission is not limited to that. If you think your only purpose as a Christian is to warm a seat on a Sunday morning, sorry, you've missed the point. So, if we're called to go, I've found through my Christian journey, sort of different words that helped me understand this whole aspect of go. And I've always worked with the three W's. I've probably mentioned this before, but that's okay. It'll be another thing to remember and reiterate. And the first of these three W's are works, words, and wonders. Works, words, and wonders as we go. So as followers of Jesus, as his church, we're called to go out into the world, into our community, into our society. And the first one we're called to is with our works. We are called to serve others. We're called in Jesus' name to do good amongst our community in whatever way that can be. And I'm not going to try to describe every aspect of what that could be. But in the Gospel of Matthew, during the utterance of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made this amazing statement. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through to 16, Jesus said this. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Your good deeds, and praise your Father in heaven." He may see as we go out into, it doesn't say stay within the confines of your church building. As you go out with a light of Christ, they will see that what we do in his name, not for our own glory, but for his glory. And all over the world, if we look, we can see the church serving people. One of the great encouragements for us, if that, some of you were in small groups last year, we did Jesus the Game Changer, and the part of that small group ministry and preaching that we did over that period of time is that we saw throughout history how the church was there at the front line, whether it was within education or whether it was within healthcare or in ways of aged care and agencies, the way in which we have cared for people. The church has certainly had its sordid past, but this over and over and over again, we've seen the hand of God as he mobilizes his church in good deeds in his name to serve one another. So whether it's here in our context, it's a barbecue up at Clifford Park, or whether it's taking a team over to the Mia Orphanage in Kenya, very often, people are attracted to Christ first by our actions of good deeds, of serving them, of putting ourselves behind other people and putting them first. What does that mean for you as a follower of Jesus here at Lismore Baptist Church? What is it that God has called you to as he calls us to go, as to how by our good deeds that we can serve God by serving others? Now, I've purposely used works first because I think that is so foundational. But right behind that is the second W, which is words. And we can't escape that. And as we serve people within works, I believe it will open up doors for us to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, in the equivalent passage in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, which is once again the Great Commission, from Mark's perspective, he said, "Go into the world and preach the good news." Generally, preach involves using words. "Preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Sharing that is so important and is central to our mission. Now, I know that there are plenty of people who feel very nervous when we get to this because they go, "I find it difficult. I feel inadequate. I've done it before and people laughed at me, or they rejected me and the friendship was never the same again." I know, and I think we've all been there. So I'm not suggesting that we've got to find our, you know, four spiritual laws or the two ways to live or our favourite Bible passage and start waving our Bible around preaching at people against their will. I think there's wise and pertinent ways that we can do that. Can I suggest the best starting point for how we share the gospel is reminding ourselves of how wonderful it is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we allow the joy that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, if there's that joy within us, the joy of knowing the Creator of the universe, the joy of knowing that we have been forgiven, the joy of knowing that we are living in the love and grace of Jesus Christ, if that's there, it's got to come out somehow. Doesn't it? We don't do it because it's a duty. We don't do it because Jesus said at the last commission that we've got to do this. We do it because we're just so overflowing with what Christ has done for us. And I honestly believe that one of the greatest ways that we do this is not just using sort of a theological expose with people, but simply, and I think for a lot of people, they simply want to know what it's done for your life and just sharing what God has done for you. What a difference he's made in your life is what I think a lot of people are really craving. They want to hear a personal story. They want to hear a personal testimony. They don't want to know how many commentaries you read over the last week. Some may. They may have a different question regarding that. But the question is, what has Christ done for me? What has Christ done for you? When you reflect on it, when you pray on it, what is it that he's done to transform you and to make him more like you? And as we dwell and praise God and thank him for that, that should just be an overflowing of our life out into other people. Now, this is when we get to the third point. Works, words, and wonders. You could use whatever. It's a convenient W word, by the way. When we serve, when we speak, what we do is we create space for God to do his thing. For him to do what he wants to do. And that's what I've put in that wonders category. Now, too often when we think about it, we think about wonders as in, you know, healing, miracles. And that can certainly be the case. That God can do these miraculous and supernatural things in order to lead people to himself. As a matter of fact, during the week, I was with other regional ministers down in Port Macquarie, and we met with a number of Baptist ministers from the mid-north and north coast. And it was a great opportunity for encouragement and networking. One of the people I met with was the pastor of Sandy Beach Baptist Church, just near Coffs Harbour. Terry Allen is his name. You may actually know him because he's a Channel 7 news reporter, apparently. He's on the news quite often, local news. And also a pastor. How does that work? Who knows? Anyway, he in his church goes over to Nepal quite often. And they work with a people group on the border of India and Nepal. And there's a lot of mixed religions there, but predominantly Hindu. And the Hindu are very sort of superstitious people, and they're working with them. And he says one of the big opportunities for the gospel amongst the indigenous people there is that the people, as Hindus, will go to a local witch doctor, and the witch doctor will pray for whatever their needs are, and 99 times out of 100, nothing will happen. And he says what's happening right across that region is that in desperation, these people who have tried the Hindu way will go to a Christian person, and that Christian person will pray for them, and God will answer their prayer. And they will come to Christ through the wonder of answered prayer. And it's just these great stories about how God answers prayer and reveals himself that people will see the real deal. Now, that's wonderful if that's the way that God works every single time. And you hear from time to time when God will do that here in Australia. I don't think it happens as much as it seems to happen in other places for whatever reason. And simply for whatever purpose God has for you and for I and for his church here in Australia and the West, he's calling us to good deeds, works, for us to be able to share what Christ has done in us, the words, and allow space for him to do his wondrous work. And I think the challenge for you and I as to how we walk that out. How we do these good deeds, when is the right time, the wrong time for us to share our faith, and what space do we allow for God to do his wondrous work? And I'm not, if you're thinking I'm going to give you a formula, tell you how to do it, A, B, C, and D, sorry, once again, this is a dynamic walk with Jesus Christ. And for each of us as individuals, but also as a collective, we need to walk this out. I think one of the classic situations that I hear over and over and over again is parents who are praying for unsaved kids. They've said many, many times to their kids, this is what Jesus wants you to do. But we also realize that we need to allow space for God to do his work. We also need to show love. We need to do our work. So we've got works and words and wonders in the midst of all of that. And it's one of those tricky things is to go, at what point do I stand back and let God do his thing, continue to pray? At what point do I need to get involved and share what God has given to me? People have been there, surely, surely. And I'm not going to give you the answers. All to say is that between those works, the words and the wonders, we need to continue to seek God as to when is the right time, when's the right time to step back and let him do his work, ready to be involved, to say what we need to say, to serve in whatever way we need to serve. Works, words and wonders. Let's continue to wrestle with this. Continue to seek God as to how and when we speak, we shut up, we pray, we serve, we do good deeds, we whatever. And together, as we go, we will see God glorified. The next part of this, Jesus says to go. He also says to baptize. Baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to make this very clear that we believe that it's not a way in which you become a Christian, but a sign that someone has become a Christian is that we would baptize. If someone makes a profession of faith, I reckon it's one of the most beautiful ways in which people will display and publicly declare their faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, you would know that there have been a few here just this year where we have had this opportunity for people to go through the waters of baptism and publicly declare their faith in Jesus. And I always talk with those who are contemplating that. There's two aspects to all of this. How it's for that person who is going through the waters of baptism, for there to establish within themselves publicly that this is the faith that they will live by. But I also believe it's a wonderful witness to those gathered around. As we watch and hear someone who publicly makes a declaration of faith that they belong to Jesus Christ. And I will continue to encourage anybody here who calls themselves a follower of Jesus but hasn't yet gone through the waters of baptism. What is God saying to you at this point? Do you need to make a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ? And the third part of this, he says go, he says baptize, and he says teach. The Great Commission says that we need to teach. And this is more than just an event. It's more than just what happens during the sermon period of the worship service. But it's a lifetime of instruction and interaction. Sundays, growth groups, mentoring, you know, 1 to 100, 1 to 10, one-on-one, it doesn't really matter. All in the context of community. And our encouragement is that we want to continue to build our growth groups and our opportunities for people to meet outside of this Sunday morning context where we can gather together for prayer and for fellowship and for networking, but also for instruction, that we may be further sharpened. Because when somebody comes to Christ, the job has just started. Any mother will testify that giving birth is only the beginning of a long journey. And there may be aspects of teaching formally or informally. And the last thing that I see here in this passage is the third point, which is the power behind our mission. And it's one of the great comforts, and that is the presence of God. And this should be one of our greatest blessings. It's the exclamation mark at the end of this passage. Look what Jesus says at the last part of this passage we have today. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I find it interesting in today's generation, we have so many methods by which we can be connected to one another. There's a thing called social media that apparently you can join up in and you can make lots of friends. You can connect with lots and lots of people. You can share life with people through your phone or your computer or your tablet or your laptop. There's so many ways in which we can connect with one another that just a generation ago we would have thought is unfathomable. And yet the great epidemic it seems to be in today's society is that we're lonelier than we've ever been. Because we're hiding behind our devices, we're hiding behind whatever it is that we're using to communicate. And there's a loneliness. I don't know if you've noticed this without in our community. There's just people who are just completely disconnected. And yet the offer is here, Jesus 2,000 years ago says, it's possible for you to live life in whatever circumstances you are in, and you are not alone. And I think it's one of mankind's, people's greatest needs is to be in community. But we've been hurt. We've been disappointed. We've been disillusioned and we tend to pull away from people. And yet the great promise is that Jesus says, wherever you are, I am with you. 24/7. My spirit is with you. And I think one of the great aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is we have the double blessing. We have the double blessing of God's Spirit with us wherever we go. But we're all part of not only God's Spirit's presence, but also the presence of Jesus by his body, which is the church. And so we also physically have the opportunity, some more than others, to be connected with other followers of Jesus, which the Bible describes as being the body of Christ. Doesn't it say that? The body of Christ. So we have this blessing of being able to be connected relationally with people in Jesus' name, but also supernaturally by God's Spirit within us. How good's that? We are never alone. He will empower us. We can know community, the communion of God. And as we seek to step outside of these walls in works and with our words and seeing the wonder of Christ, we can know that we're not on our own. We're within a family of believers, but we're also have the presence of God's Spirit with us wherever we are. And I find one of the great encouragements, as I reflect on this passage, and I've spent a bit of time this week as I've looked at it and I thought, this great commission, which starts with Jesus as our source, our beginning and our end, as we and our desire to fulfill his purpose, which is to see the lives of people transformed, knowing that God's presence is with us all the time, that we as Lismore Baptist Church, I don't know whether you get this picture myself, but it's just a really, I think, an exciting time for us. We're partnering with a community that's going to be established in Kyogle. Many of you may have met Jacob and April as they've moved back to Kyogle. with a desire to plant a faith community in Kyogle. How good's that? And we're called to partner in whatever way God may allow for us, and Jacob and April and family, they come along here, and we want to support and encourage them, and whatever that looks like, we may get involved. God is calling us to go outside our walls to see the opportunity for mission in Kyogle. I've also mentioned that we've got some opportunities to establish a faith work also in Lennox Head. And I can't mention too many details at this point, but I've been in discussion with a couple of key people who are interested in moving to Lennox Head in order to start a new faith work community in Lennox Head. And we're looking at how we, as Lismore Baptist Church and the wider Baptist churches within our region as well, as how we may support that work as we go out into another community. If that's not enough for you, let me talk about Korakai, where as part of our partnership with Baptist Care, our statewide agency, you know the trailer out the back of the car park which we take around up to Clifford Park, this door has opened for us to connect with an Indigenous community in Korakai. And we're looking at ways in which we can regularly connect with them and empower them and encourage them to reach out into the Korakai community. And a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to go out with our trailer and a few others down to an outreach that they did. And it was just great to connect with these Indigenous people as they sought ways to reach out with the love of Christ into their community. And I haven't even started to talk about the opportunities we have to serve here in Lismore itself. Don't come to me and sort of say, oh, there's nowhere to go to serve. I think God is just opening up all of these doors. And I encourage you to talk to me or to Drew, Emma, who's now a caseworker, is connecting far more with Baptist Care and those opportunities there, as to how we prayerfully can figure out where God has called us as individuals, but also as a church. With good works, with words, and seeing the wonder of God displayed in those places. I just want to create some space for us to consider. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Have a look at that passage again. As Jesus shared with his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," said Jesus. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Heavenly Father, I pray that you will use those words, as you have throughout history, for us here at Lismore Baptist Church, that you will continue to call us to go outside the walls of this building, outside the comfort of our own home, that you'll call us to be a light on a hill, to serve, to love, to befriend, to be ready to share what it is that Christ has done in us, and to be involved in the wondrous things that you are going to do. That we will see people baptized as they make their public declaration of faith. And we will continue to teach and instruct each one of us, that we may be more equipped for your work.